Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Russell. We were supposed to have the great Aaron Knox on this week, but sorry, Aaron, we've got to bump you. We got in touch with another detailer that I've been really dying to talk to, learn a bit more about him. So Aaron's got to go. Sorry, buddy. So we'll have Aaron on next week again. Apologize, but this next kid, somebody that I've been kind of following for a couple of years now. He did my cousin's car a couple of years ago and just kind of blew me away with his work. So started following him on Facebook, and just watching his progression over the last couple of years has just been kind of mind blowing. So please welcome Mr. Michael McCarthy.
There he is.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good. So welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast, second episode.
Nice.
You bumped Noxie.
Say what?
Said you bumped Noxie.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to have fun with that. So I know I tried to explain this to you a little. If you didn't listen to the first one, because I know you said you're kind of like not good with interviews. This mm-hmm. isn't really like interviews, dude. You're just you're somebody that I've been watching, I guess, for like the last 2 years since you did Matthew's first Ferrari.
Yeah.
Is that 2 years ago? Yeah.
Roughly.
So yeah. So obviously when you did that car, he was down here and visiting with us. Showed me the video and everything like that. Stellar work. And so, of course, that's when I started following you and just kind of watching your progression has been like kind of crazy. And it's just one of those things where you're like one of those guys like I kind of want to know more about. But like I'm really bad about just messaging people and being like, hey, can we be friends?
Yeah.
So. So that's kind of like how this whole podcast thing, the idea came about was I just wanted to like interview / just talk to people to get to know them more.
Right.
The people that stand out to me. So I do have obviously some questions that, you know, like I would want to ask you anyway. So, you know, obviously, you know, tell everybody, you know, I mean, obviously you're Michael McCarthy from Gloss Boss 850. Everybody should know that from the intro. But dude, how did you, because you're young, right? You're like 23, 24, something like that.
31, actually.
Oh, are you? Damn, why did I think you were so much younger than that?
Because dang, the Asian.
You had that baby face. Yeah, you had that baby face. Damn, I really thought you were a lot younger.
Yeah, 31 with no beard or a mustache.
Nice. Good for you. So how did you get into detailing? Like, how'd you start? Where'd you start? Like, give us some background.
I started detailing back in 2009. I actually, it was a situation I was going through at the time because I was born overseas. So okay. Because I was born overseas, paperwork got, you know, basically yeah. To make a long story short, it got all messed up and we had to go through a process and it took like 8 years. So I really didn't have, you know, a driver's license at 16 or this and that, but I happened to come across this guy that had an auto detailing business. And at the time I was working with my father at his t-shirt printing business. And I walked over to this guy and I saw, you know, he had a hot rod in there. And I was like, man, this is pretty cool. I was like, are you hiring? He was like, no. So I, you know, went back and worked with my dad, gave it about, you know, 7-8 months. I went back again. I asked the guy, he's like, hey man, you hiring? He was like, well, yeah, actually, I got something you can do. So that's where it began.
Cool.
I started there and, you know, I wasn't making very much, but I was enjoying what I was doing.
Right.
So I was kind of like learning at the same time. So it, you know, it was nice because I wasn't making a whole lot, but I was making enough to where I can, you know, go hang out with friends and stuff like that at the time when I was younger.
Right.
While dealing.
Doing some.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, doing something that was fun and you know, all that good stuff. So So how long did you work for him before you went out on your own, or?
I quit the month of February 2017. Okay. I think it was, I want to say it was about 4 months after I got my citizenship, which was like, I was 26 at the time. So right. I got that. So I ended up getting a driver's license. I had a car. So I was able to do the things that I should have enjoyed when I was younger, but because of complications, you know, right. and my dad being in the Air Force, it was, we finally got it over with. But yeah, so that started. And then I started to realize that I was, you know, I was doing more work. I was learning at a faster pace. And I started noticing there were things that my boss would just say to me. He's like, hey, man, I can't teach you how to do this. He's like, you already know how to do basically everything, and I don't really know what else to teach you. He's like, right. I'm at the point now where I'm kind of learning from you. And, you know, I think it was like about 4 months after I got my citizenship went by, and I started thinking, I was like, man, I was like, I really enjoy what I do, but I don't really like having a boss. I kind of want to do this as a business and have my own thing on my own time. So right. It was something I was thinking about 3 years prior to the whole month that I quit, but it started to grow on right. me more and more. And
yeah, and obviously because of the situation you were in, it's not like you could really kind of do it anyways. So you had plenty of time to prepare for it and think about it.
Yeah, and you know, it got to the point too. I was at 26. I was like, man, you know, what am I gonna do with my life? You know, I gotta have right. like a foundation of some sort. So I ended up February 2017 just pulling the trigger, and it was like, you know what, I'm gonna do it. I forget what day it was, but it was, I was working with a guy next door, which is a buddy of mine now. He had a body shop. So we would always work together on, you know, big projects and stuff like that. And yeah, I came over there, set up my LLC one night, and then came in the next day and kind of broke the news to my boss. I mean, it was kind of short notice, but I mean, it was,
right.
I was basically in a moment to where it's like, I either do this now or I'll come up with an excuse if I wait another day. So I
pulled the trigger. Exactly.
Went in there, quit. I said, look, I'm done, but I'll finish out my week and I'll finish, you know, the other two coding jobs that we have here. But after that, I'm kind of going on my own. He didn't take it too well.
Right.
But, you know.
They never do.
No, they don't. I mean, try to make me kind of feel bad. So I just kind of ignored it. And I was like, you know what? We're both adults now. So hard feelings, you know, he'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
exactly.
Plus, and plus, he wanted to really kind of take over his business because I was working a lot of the times and he wasn't working as much as I was, so he kind of wanted to get back in it. So I felt like that was a perfect opportunity to, you know, let him know that I was leaving, and then he can have the shop sure. back and start doing things the way he wanted to do.
Nice. So how did you get hooked up with CarPro? Because I know like everybody kind of picks their brands, and I know you're pretty solid there with CarPro. Was that something you just kind of stumbled upon, or is that something
actually the first time I ever heard of C-Courts in general and CarPro were uh-huh. two different people. One was, I think it was it was 2016, and I was doing a Z06, and you know, the guy was following me for a while at the time when I was working with my boss, and he came up with the Z06. He's like, hey man, I've been following you. I want you to do, you know, your touch on my car. And I was like, okay, sure. You know, and we went about the process. And then he had mentioned to me about a ceramic coating. That was the first time I ever heard about it. And he was like, yeah, man, there's this stuff called C-Quartz. I was like, you know, at the time I was like, what the hell is that? Like, what is a coating? Yeah. And he was like, you know, it's this stuff that comes in a bottle. It's a liquid. You apply it, and after you wipe it off and it cures, it's just like your car's glass. So I kind of was like thinking about it after, you know, doing his car, and I started thinking more about it. I started researching, you know, I started Instagram, got on there, and I started researching, you know, CarPro, C-Courts after I found out about it. And then I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. So I don't remember what car I did. I think it was the green Corvette that I did that kind of caught Corey's eye.
Okay.
I'm assuming. But I remember tagging CarPro at one point and on Instagram, and the next thing you know, somebody had tagged, I forget who it is, I still don't know to this day, but they had tagged him. It was like, and they had tagged Corey. It was like, hey, this is the guy. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I didn't really think anything of it. And then I started getting more into researching coatings, and you know, I found out how to get in contact with CarPro. So I called one day and I was like, hey, you know, how do I go out doing this? Corey explained what I needed to do. And I was like, okay, cool. So at the time I didn't start my business. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I think I gave it like another year or two before I quit. And then I called the day I quit and, you know, Corey was like, yeah, you know, I'd like you to come down to Aaron Knox's shop, you know, train, get to know each other and then, you know, see how everything goes. And I was like, word. And, you know, that's kind of where the journey began from there.
Right. No, I mean, it's a great product. I mean, I started with UK. I've kind of rounded back to it somewhat now because of Knox, you know, and kind of been a little bit in between a bunch of different coatings too. And I mean, they were all fabulous coatings. It's just, you know, I've kind of gotten over, I guess, a little bit of like the hype about branding, so to speak. And the beauty part, and this is the part that always like gets everybody mad, is Corey's shop is half a mile from my shop.
Mm-hmm.
So like I can put an order in and be over there in like 2 minutes and pick the order up, which is awesome, you know, versus having to wait for shipping and things like that. So, I mean, it's not a knock on any of the other coatings that I've used or still use or anything like that. It's just kind of one of those things where it's just so convenient to be just run over there and grab something when I need it versus like loading up, kind of deal. So when did you get in the wet sanding? Because I know like that's the one thing, like when I first started following, I was like, all right, this guy does some pretty good work or whatever. And then it was like wet sanding full car. And it was like every time you'd make a post, I was like, here we go again. This kid's wet sanding, like, you know, like phenomenal work. But sometimes I'm like, man, like, good Lord, all he does is wet sand and coat. Like, you know, he's gotta be just a dump truck full of cash sitting out back or whatever with these jobs. Like, so like, when did you transition into like kind of really getting into the wet sanding, and then was that something you did like a Kilmer training for, or did you just pick it up on your own, or like, well, how did that come about?
I started detailing 2009, and I think I want to say I think it was the second year after I started working for the guy that was at I guess I started progressing, and he saw that. So he was like, hey, you know, let's start wet sanding. So we were, he gave me a job, and I forget what, I think it was a, I know the first buff job he gave me with a rotary was a Ford Contour, and I burned the shit out of the fender. I went through that thing all the way, and he was just like, holy shit.
Nice.
But when I started wet sanding, I think it was 2 years afterwards, and it was for a body shop, and it was like a custom shop. So all the guy really produced was like, you know, old 70s, you know, like the Dunks, the big body cars, the big motors, big wheels.
Yeah.
So that's one of the cars I started wet sanding on. One of the full cars. But before that, we were working in a kind of collaborating with a collision center down the road from us. So I would do spot sanding, you know, he would teach me how to do the nibbing. So we started doing the nibbing, and it went from nibbing to like softening up a whole panel. Like we would nib the trash and then soften up the panel with 2000, 3000 and buff it out. And it went from that to being like, hey, you know, here's a full car. Do you want to do that? And I was like, I don't know. He was like, all right, I'll show you how to do it. So when I first learned, it was blocking. And then I started learning by hand. And then, you know, I kind of learned like the difference between the two. So I started doing that more and more. We started tag teaming jobs. I started learning. And then, you know, from there, it's just, that's what it was, you know, till this day. I get a car in, see a piece of trash in the paint, you know, I'm going to sand it. That's just what I'm used to. And on top of that, you know, working with the paint shop behind me and the dent guys, you know, they do a lot of paint repair. So I'm always getting, you know, shop work in the shop too. So it's like every day I'm sanding something.
Right. Now, when you, like you said, when you look at a car and you see that it's got like some trash in it, you're sanding it. Is that something you're like just I'm going to do it? Or is that something like when you're doing your inspection with the client, you're like, hey, you know, here's some trash in it, we can sand it out, blah, 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 whatever.
Well, with me, it's like when if I see a car and, you know, the customer said, hey, this panel's been repainted, or if it's a factory panel that's been repainted or whatever it is, if there's a piece of trash, I mean, it's just a kind of like an OCD thing of mine. It's like I see right. it, I want that gone, and I'm going to do what I can to make it disappear without, you know, causing any damage to the clear coat, obviously. But it's just more of a, I don't know, I see it like every car I do is more of, you know, this customer is paying me X amount of dollars. I want to make sure the customer gets back this car, and it's, you know, even if it's not 100% perfect, it's 95% better than what it was when it came in. I want to see that customer smile when they walk away. So it's more of a pet peeve of mine, you know, find, like imperfections and stuff like that. It's just something I've been doing over the years. And it's just, I guess, one of those natural things. You see something, you're like, okay, I got to get rid of it.
Oh, no, no. I mean, definitely. I mean, don't, you know, I mean, you're on a completely different level than that on that than I am, because I mean, I haven't gotten into wet sanding yet. And it's mostly because of, most of the cars I get don't really need it, you know? But kind of the same way, you know, like even if I, you know, if I quote a client, I quote a client, a price and the job, like even if it's doing something like a hyper polish or speed polish, whichever, you know, I kind of stealing Knox's term there with the hyper polish, but, you know, or one step or, you know, whatever. But it needs a little bit more, you know. I'm kind of the same way. Like, I'm not going to just, like, if I can just spend an extra, you know, 15 minutes on a panel or 10 minutes on a panel or something, and I'm, you know, making good money on the job anyway. So if it takes me a little bit longer, but to do like what you said, to make it closer to perfect, so when the client comes back, they're, you know, like, oh my God, like I, you know, kind of didn't think you were going to get it out. So no, I totally get that. I just didn't know if, because you do so much, or at least you post up a lot that, of wet sanding. I didn't know if that was just something you're like, look, man, my wet sanding, my correction, my coating, it's all this much, you know, and this is where you're going with it kind of deal. So I was just curious.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I get a lot of people that ask me too, like, either in person or online, they're like, hey, do you wet sand every car? I don't wet sand every car. Like, honestly, it's probably, I mean,
just every car you post.
Maybe 3 out of the 5 cars I get for coatings, there is a spot wet sanding, but at least 2 out of those 5, you know, might get maybe a quarter of the car or maybe half the car done, or whichever's, you know, I feel is going to make the paint, improve the paint. But, I try not to wet sand every car, but it's lately, I mean, like over the past year and a half, it's just like, there's like no other way to get these imperfections out. So it's that's like the only result to do for me. You know, 'cause you don't want to keep polishing on a panel over and over again. 'Cause one, you're going to heat it up. Two, you're eventually going to burn through. And three, you're going to end up having to pay for that panel. And depending on the color, you'll have to pay for multiple panels to blend. So
exactly.
I kind of just pick and choose what cars I think should have it and should not. Like, you know, for instance, this Audi R8 I just got in, I thought it was just going to be a gravy 2-step job, and turns out having to repaint a side skirt and the whole passenger door has been repainted. There's trash galore. I mean, there's like
sand
at the bottom of the door, and the customer didn't even know about it until I brought it up to him. So now I'm just like, man, oh, looks like I'm sanding this whole door.
Right. Jeez. Well, speaking of the R8, I mean, dude, you get a lot of cool stuff, not gonna lie.
I do. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird, because when I used to work, before I started my business, I used to just like, I'm not gonna lie, I used to have dreams of me like having my own shop, working on badass cars.
Right.
And I would always see these badass cars around. So, you know, I don't know what it is. I mean, I kind of believe in Murphy's Law of Attraction, but there was to a point where I talked about like working on a nice car every single day up to the day I quit my job and started my own business. And then it was weird. It was like the first month I got into business, I got a 69 Camaro SS that was purchased from Barrett Jackson. And that's like my dream car. So that was like the first hit. And then after that, it's just, I know it's wild. I mean, it's, I wake up some days, right. I wake up and I'm just like, man, this is pretty cool. I mean, is this real life?
Right. Right. And that's how I think sometimes, because I mean, I get some nice stuff, but sometimes like I see stuff that other guys are doing and I'm like, man, like, why, how come I'm not getting that? How come I'm not getting that? But then I like look at it on the other side that, you know, like I see a lot of guys aren't even doing the stuff that I'm doing. So then I'm like, kind of like, you know, shut up, because you got some cool stuff too going yeah. on, like that some other people don't have. Well, mentioning the Camaro, like kind of goes into second part of kind of talking about the cars that you get. So I wanted to ask you, like, what's your favorite car that you've done, and what's one that you haven't done yet that you're dying to do? So does the 69 kind of fall in your favorite yeah, car that you've done kind of deal?
It's really hard for me to narrow it down. Like, I'm trying to narrow it down like a top 10, but there's so many.
Yeah.
The 69 Camaro SS, that was a badass car. The another one I worked on that I just did like a standard detail on, but still was kind of cool, was when I worked for my old job before I started the business, was they claimed to have purchased one of Lucille Ball's Rolls Royces from her estate, one of the older ones.
Oh, wow. So
I got to clean one of those, and that was pretty cool. I mean, seeing a car that was in like 50s or the 60s,
yeah.
power windows, shag carpet. I mean, it was just kind of like a trip back into history.
Right, right.
To hear about the story. I would definitely say the Ford GT that I did, that one I was eyeing, that was actually a client of my boss's, and I started my business, and next thing you know, I get a call one day and he's like, hey, I got a Ford GT. And I was like, oh my God, this is the one. And it ended up being the one, because my boss would never let me touch. He's like, no, I'm going to do this one. You can go over here and work on this Honda. And I'm just like, shit, dude.
Right. Right. Exactly. Like,
I don't want to work on a Honda. I want to work on that thing. But, I
mean, right.
I've got a lot. I mean, definitely Matt's Medina. That was
the yellow, nice. The yellow and one, or was, the red one.
Both of them.
Well, the red one's the Challenge Stradale, right?
Yeah. That was nice. A little nerve wracking when he told me that the mirrors were at least 14K just for the mirrors, and then
yeah,
kind of explaining to me like what's not replaceable. So I mean, there was a few days on that car where I was sweating bullets, but
well, I remember even on the first one, the yellow one, he told me that like you were afraid to really polish out the wheels, and he was like, dude, they're wheels, like pop them off and polish them out. But I think at the time you didn't feel comfortable taking the wheels off, I think is what he said, or something like
yeah,
that.
It was, you know, I mean, when you're working on cars like that, you kind of want to make sure you have, like, you know, you tighten the lug nuts down, like, to a proper spec and stuff like that. Because, I mean, they're not your ordinary cars. These are cars that are, like, driven at high speeds or on the track and stuff like that. And I had known that Matt was going to drive the Medina. You know, I knew he was going to take it on rallies. I knew he was going to take it to a track eventually. I mean, he told me it.
Yeah.
So that's where I was kind of falling in. And, you know, that thought in the back of your head, man, if I screw something up, that's gonna be a big a big payment.
No, I get you, man. I just recently was kind of made a decision that I don't even know that if I want to do wheels off anymore. I mean, even though I have quick jacks and can get the car up off the ground and pull all four wheels off at the same time, you know, sometimes when you're putting the wheel back on, and if you don't get it flush right and you start, you know, putting the lug nuts back on, you know, like you said, I mean, you just get in a world of trouble. So that's, I don't do a lot of them, but it's something that I'm almost kind of, you know, thinking about bailing out of on my services. I don't know. I haven't made that decision yet, but, so what's the one car you haven't done yet that you're just biting at the chomp to do? You know,
can't
wait.
There is a few cars in my area that pop up.
I mean,
up.
Right. There's I was gonna say besides like the Bugattis and the Koenigseggs and stuff like that. Like,
oh yeah, I mean that's good. I mean, we got a detailer over in Biloxi that does Ceramic Pro. He's a pretty chill dude, and I follow him on Facebook, like one of the only guys. But man, this guy he does some ridiculous cars. He did one of the Paganis out there, and I was just blown away. I was like, holy shit, they got one over here. But I would definitely say there's a LaFerrari here in Destin, which is like 20 minutes from my shop. And, you know, I would love to get my hands on that. And, you know, there is obviously a Pagani, but, you know, that's like one in a million chance.
Right.
There's so many. There's only so many. But I'd like to get into more of the older exotic cars, like, you know, the 50s, the 60s, maybe the 40s. But
old school Ferraris and Lamborghinis, like Joppolos, yeah,
and a lot of old muscle cars.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, I like rat rods too, but I mean, you can only do so much to rat rods because I mean, they're yeah. But I don't know. It's weird. It just changes, man. I do so many, and it's just like I see so many cars, and then it's just like the list just goes from like 3 to like 30, and it's wild.
Right, right. No, I totally understand that. So what are some of your goals for your business, for Gloss Boss? I mean, do you want to expand it in a sense to where maybe you're taking on more services? Like I myself, I'm doing Lumar PPF training this week because I want to start integrating that into my business, just because when I sub it out, I see how much the PPF guy is getting, and I'm just like, why am I subbing this out anymore? Like, why is that money not staying in the shop for me? So I mean, because I know you have like some guys that you work with for like PPF and wraps and stuff like that, but I mean, do you have any goals of like, you know, doing PPF, doing window film, like maybe get to a point where you're hiring on, you know, other people to help you out to take on more, or are you just cool with how it is?
Probably not 10. I've thought about, you know, PPF and vinyl, but I get so much volume with the paint correction and the coatings that I'm pretty much busy with that. So there's like really no time for me to do it. But the guy that I've been working with for now for a couple years, he's a real good guy. And, you know, we've been doing work back and forth, and we've actually talked about potentially getting a bigger shop together. So that way we have, you know, film and the corrections and coatings.
Just kind of go in on a partnership type deal.
Yeah. And I mean, I kind of have some interest in PPF, but to be honest, I rather polish a car for a week than try to stretch and cut film. But
yeah,
you know, I actually haven't had hands-on experience, so that could change. But until then, I'm just like, I don't really have the time for it. But if I can find someone that has the quality of work that I'm looking for, that's also an enthusiast. And that's one of the things I like about the people I work with, is that everybody's a car enthusiast. The dent guys, he's an enthusiast. The paint guy,
nice.
The paint protection film guy, I mean, the tint guy. So I've got people that actually have a passion for what they do. So that right there is like a team to me. So, you know, if I can, I'd really just like to focus on the corrections and the coatings, and then.
Right. No, I got you. Cause I mean, that's how I always felt too. And, you know, like I said, and then once I started subbing out PPF work, cause I was getting it, or people interested in it, you know, it was just kind of like, oh man, that's a lot of money leaving the shop. And I'm at the point where, you know, honestly, if I could book, you know, one car a week and, you know, do a, you know, full front end PPF job and a ceramic coating and a, you know, a correction ceramic coating, like, dude, I'd be set, you know, I wouldn't need to do anything else. And that's kind of where I'm trying to get. I mean, I'm obviously way older than you are, but, you know,
I've thought about it, and it's just, you know, I've also seen a lot of people, like, not just detailing, but like in businesses in general, especially small businesses.
Yeah.
When they start out, you know, like the biggest thing for a lot of people I've seen in my area is go big or go home.
And yeah,
once you have that mentality, you kind of lose track of, you know, taking a step by step and building when you're just trying to have it all at once. And
right,
you know, I kind of want to just take that slow step. You know, yeah, it may take me a few years longer to get to where I want to be, but at least I'll be able to sleep at night and I'll be able to wake up the next morning at work.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Because I mean, I, you know, I'm heading into my fifth year. November will be 5 years. You know, and I'm just now kind of making that decision, you know, to get into PPF, and people have been talking to me about doing it forever. So something else I saw recently on your Facebook page, cause I know you post a lot that, you know, about travel.
Yeah.
You know, you posted something about, you know, wanting to be retired at an early age and travel. So what do you have a, I guess they call it like your put down your buffer date. Like, do you have a date set in mind, or do you have a time set in mind, that you're just going to be like, I'm done. I need to go and do something else, or for you, travel, things like that. And like, how firm is that thought, you know, right now, you know, kind of deal as far as like, you know, definitely going to do it no matter what, or well, shoot, if I'm doing Pagani's and Bugatti's and, you know, LaFerrari's all the time, then I might stick it out a little bit longer.
That's, you know, I've been doing it for about 10, 11 years now. And a lot of people don't know, but there's been a lot of times, or quite a few times, that I've actually quit detailing because I just got to the point where I was just burnt out. So, I mean, I've burnt myself out quite a bit. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's crazy because every time I stepped away from detailing, it's within 2 months. You know, the longest I went was about a year without detailing. But, like, you know, throughout that year, I was just seeing cars like, man, I really want to polish that car. Man, that car looks
right.
That looks nice. But I think the whole – I don't really have a date for when I'm going to put the buffer down. I think that's something I'm probably going to enjoy, even if I retire. I mean, I'm still going to polish something.
Right.
I enjoy it. It's a passion. I like it. I like the satisfaction of a finished product. I'm definitely not going to put it down, but I do have plans. I would love to go travel. If I can find a way to where I could travel and, you know, go see the world, you know, go eat some awesome food from different countries and still detail at the same time, you know, that would be awesome.
Right.
But I also kind of want to, you know, there's like, few other things I want to do, like cooking, and I kind of want to get back into art because I used to be real big in that. I actually went to a vocational school for digital arts and design.
Oh, cool.
But I kind of fell out of that once I started getting into detailing, because then I started getting the cars more and I started, you know, liking what I do. But, you know, now it's just like, you know, eventually I'll figure something out, but now I'm just kind of going on.
Riding the wave.
Just riding the wave, you know, just living life. I mean, I don't want to set limits and stress myself out. I kind of just want to live life and, like, kind of let it take it where it's supposed to go type deal.
Right, right. No, definitely. I mean, that's, you know, I'm always, you know, Michelle's like, you know, we should do this, you know, and I'm like, that's like 6 months away. Like, who knows what's going on in six months? Like, let's just take day at a day.
It's hard to plan ahead of time, especially like a year in advance,
right?
Like 5-6 months. I mean, hurricane can come and take out Florida and we won't be able to go anywhere.
right, exactly. Don't say that, man. We're in hurricane season now. So Aaron Knox told me to ask you, who do you look up to this industry, or who do you look up to in this industry? And I'm gonna say, please don't say him.
I mean, Noxie is definitely one of them. And reason saying is because when I first met him, when I got introduced to CarPro and I trained at his shop, the dude was just so down to earth. I mean, he was so chill. The first time I met him, like within the first 10 minutes of talking, I was like, man, I feel like I've known this dude forever. Like, this dude is like one of my homies back at home.
Right.
Like, he's super chill, super cool. And it was a great feeling. You know, I didn't feel out of place. I mean, you know, just meeting everybody like Corey and all them, I was like, wow, it's like a family. And this is the first day I've seen you guys like in person ever. But definitely Noxie's one of them. You know, obviously the KXK group, you know, Kilmer and Ward, I definitely look up to them because, you know, I like their passion for what they do. You know, I like the level they're at. And it's just like kind of like a thing where I look up and I'm just like, yo, you know, they're there. I'm at my age. You know, I can get there and, you know, do the things and learn the knowledge that they know. And that's, you know, another thing about it. The whole detailing thing is just learning. It's just every day I learn something.
Right. Exactly.
I love it. I mean, it's something new. I mean, yeah, we're polishing our cars every day, doing the same repetitive thing, but you're still learning something new. So that kind of, you know, keeps it fun.
Right, because paint's different from car to car, and maybe you've done, you know, like Christopher Cormie, all you ever do is black cars, but you get that one black car that the paint is different than the last 150 black cars you did, you know, so now you have to figure it out and learn. And then two, this industry changes like so rapidly. Like you just think like, oh, it's compound, it's polished, like,
yeah,
you know,
6 months
moving
later, you got something else. Is like, hey, we can eliminate
right,
you know, it's such and such process, and we can make it go from like 10 steps into two.
Like, right, what? Exactly. and that's one of the reasons why, you know, people are like, oh, how come you don't have this, and how come you don't use this, and how come, you know, and it's like, I can't buy so many things, and every 6 months, like now the new thing's coming out, and I got to buy that, and I've still got a 3/4 full bottle of the last new thing. So like I'm very picky and choosy with that. I mean,
I'm the same
with chemicals.
Way.
Are you pretty minimalist with your chemicals?
To an extent, go with what works.
Right.
Gives me the results I want. I know when I first starting, I tried the whole 3M line. I mean, the heavy cut, the finesse, the perfected line.
Right.
And, you know, I thought that was the shit back in the day. I was like, man, this stuff looks good. And then, you know, 4 years after using the product, I kind of started figuring out, I was like, man, why is it that every time I wash a car after I compound it and polish it out, these damn swirls keep coming back? And,
yeah,
you know, that's when it rang. I was like, I think this stuff has got fillers in it. So I found that out when I first, you know, wiped down the panel with wax and grease remover after polishing. I was like, I want to see if the shit's going to come back, because it keeps coming back with all the washes. And boom, sure enough, it did. So started messing with other products. I really stuck with the 3M stuff up until, what was like 2015. Then I started using Meguiar's. I used a lot of the solo cut and polish, and figured that was a lot of fillers in there too. So I didn't really like that. And then started researching CarPro. So I started kind of experimenting with that, and then from there on it kind of just took off.
Right.
I don't really try too many products. I just know that what I've tried from CarPro so far has given me the results that I want, but that's not saying that I'm not open to trying other products. It's just something that gives me results, you know, I usually stick with it. And then, you know, if it's someone I'm following that it does a lot of corrections and cutting and, you know, using compounds and testing and stuff like that, you know, I'll be like, okay, so he's using that, let me try that, see what it's like. So I've tried a different one, a lot of different
compounds. Right. And I've tried to do that kind of similar to, I usually like to always buy like a 250 mil bottle first. That way, if I didn't like it, at least I didn't buy the quart size or, you know, the
right,
500 mil of the quart size or whatever, and waste a lot of money.
I think right now, sorry to interrupt you, but before I forget, but right now I think the compound that I love using right now is Oberg. I mean, that stuff right there just cuts like butter, has a nice finish. I mean,
yeah,
that's
what I was just going to ask you. I was going to ask you what's your go-to, and Oberg is one of mine, as well. I since the day it came out, everybody was like, dude, you gotta try it. And surprisingly enough, man, with their yellow pad, I mean, you can get a lot done just doing it that way with the Oberg cut and the yellow pad. Sometimes I don't really need to go super aggressive on my pad. So I typically try to keep these things about 45 minutes or so. So we got about 6 or 7 more minutes. So I want to get to, so kind of one of the last things I want to kind of talk to you about, and I'm actually kind of glad that we didn't do this on Saturday, because now we get to talk about the Paint Assassin of the Year Award. So congratulations on being nominated for the Paint Assassin of the Year. Dude, you know, when I saw that group, you know, Jason's like, dude, you're in. And I'm like, cool. And then like, he told me, I was like, no, not cool. I don't want to go up against any of those guys, you know, like, what's your, like, how do you, what, What do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? How do you feel about nominated? Nominated? Is it cool for you? Is it like, you know, okay? And just remember, Jason will be listening to this. So,
you know. I mean, it was a bit shocking. I was like, you know, wow, you know, when I saw it, I was like, you know, I haven't really been a member of this group too long, and you know, to see that I'm on that is, you know, to me, it was just like that was a good feeling. As a, you know, feeling of gratitude, I was like, wow, you know, right. I'm with these guys that are like constantly polishing cars, like Christopher Cormier. Like I honestly would hate to polish black cars day after day after day, because I mean, I know how it is, but that guy does a lot of black cars. But to be up against you know, that group of people, I'm pretty stoked about it, you know. It's taken me a little bit. It took me like, you know, a few hours to kind of like realize, but you know, it's a good feeling. You know, I'm blessed to be.
It's definitely one of those things. Yeah, right. It's definitely one of those things where people in the industry might be like, "Oh, well, the paint assassins, like, you know, what's that?" But when you look at the group as a whole, you know, whether it's the big names, the you know, the middle of the road kind of names, or even the people that, you know, maybe aren't considered huge names, like that group rocks, dude. Like everybody in there just can like slay paint. Like there's no tomorrow. So
not only that they can slay paint, is that also there's really no drama in Paint Assassins. Yeah. That's what I love about it. Because a lot of these other detail forums, it's just constant. There's drama, 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 and there's always people bashing each other. But with Paint Assassin, it's just, it's cool as shit. Like, everybody does what they love to do, and they post what they want, and everybody gives comments, and everybody supports each other, everybody motivates each other, and that's what I like about Paint Assassin.
It's really probably as close to being perfect of a Facebook group that I think, you know, without maybe being something you know, along the lines of maybe like some of the higher up, closer knit, like brand specific secret groups, you know, as they're kind of called. Like you might be able to be into a, you know, like for myself, like I can, like I'm in the CarPro products group, but I'm pretty sure you're in like a CarPro secret group kind of deal, you know.
And
I'm
sure every brand out there has their own group. And
They do. I mean, IGL's got, you know, their group. You know, actually they've got the bunch of them. I mean, they've got the North America group, and then they've got the Marine group, and then they've got the Industrial group, and then they've got the Kenzo group. You know, so I mean, and it's all, you know, the more higher up in the group you get, you know, it does get kind of like that no drama, no BS stuff. I mean, even the North America group isn't too bad. But yeah, I mean, as far as like not being a, you know, manufactured brand, I'm not even gonna say a brand, because Jason has built a phenomenal brand over the last 2 years with Paint Assassins, but like not being a manufacturer type brand, you know, special group, he really does a great job on that. All right, dude, lastly, mayo. What's the dude, like, where'd that come from? What's the deal with it? Like, because you're always like yelling from the bleachers, mayo, you know, like,
I don't know. I just woke up one day, I was like, I'm just gonna start saying mayo. That's how it started.
Gotcha. I didn't know if you just
everybody like calls everything sauce, so I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna call it mayo.
No, it's pretty cool. I mean, that's a
mayo's
better
good.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, yeah, sometimes I like it very thinly spread on my sandwiches, but some people love it just
some people take
on
the whole jar. They just dip their fucking sandwich in and they eat it, and they call it quick.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Well, I really appreciate you doing this, being second guest, because you're really kind of the first guest that I knew nothing about. So it was a little nerve wracking for me as well, because with Jason, excuse me. And that's why I had Jason on first, was just to kind of run through it, see how it would go, see if anybody would even listen to it. Surprisingly enough, the first episode got 48 listens. So hopefully this one gets a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty neat thing that you're doing. I think there should be more podcasts. Well,
thank you.
More interactions with detailers. I think that should be, yeah, more.
And not to say that there's anything wrong with the detailing podcasts that are out there, but you know, again, my thing is this is a way for me to just get to know people that I think do stellar that does stellar work, and I want to learn more about them. And then two, it's, you know, it's more of, you know, I'm not really looking for the big names, you know, I'm not looking for the huge companies. Like, I want it to be kind of us, so to speak, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, the people that are just, you know, in the trenches all the time and just hammering it away and always admiring everybody's work. So, you know, like I really don't want like the celebrity detailer, so to speak. At least not now. I've got my short list of people that, you know, I want to make it through. And if I make it through that short list and still get some listens and things like that, then I'll definitely keep rolling with it and maybe throw in a round table here and there, maybe like pick a topic, invite some people on, because I can actually bring on more than just one person.
Yeah, and, you know maybe the whole thing with, like, you know, people becoming celebrities and this and that, you know, I think we should all just enjoy it as a whole, as a passion.
Exactly.
And, you know, one of the things that we should all never forget is, you know, don't ever forget where you started from. Because, I mean, some guys had it easy, some guys had it rough. You know, like me, I left my business. Well, I mean, I started my business, and then I started out of my garage. I had 9 jobs lined up. Two of them were guys I've been talking to throughout the year. And I had 7 of them cancel on me. My bills were due in 2 weeks. I had no money at the time because I wasn't really making a whole lot. And,
right,
you know, it just, you know, when I start, you know, sometimes I get a lot of attention on posts and stuff like that. So I got to, like, remind myself, like, yo, you know, this is great and all. You love what you do.
But it's not paying the bills.
That, and you'd be like, yo, dude, you need to take a step back. You need to be a little more humble. And you need to remember where you came from, because, you know, you went through a lot. And from what I've always seen, you know, through businesses in our area, is just ego kills dreams.
Yep.
Faster than anything that I know. Faster than cancer.
Well, and in this industry too, I always look at it as, you know, it's a very high and low kind of deal for a majority. Not to say that they're, you know, aren't guys out there that are just, you know, riding the endless wave, because there are. But for the majority of us, you have your peaks and you have your valleys.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, make hay when you can, you know, in the high times when wave season is good. And then when it goes flat and glassy, you know, you kind of have to live off of your high times, you know, when you had the good waves and everything like that.
Yeah.
So no, and, man, that's great advice.
And a lot of times when, I mean, like, everybody has their ups and their lows and their, you know, their downers and their really stressful days. And, you know, one thing I've learned is, man, even on my stressful days, on the days, I mean, I don't really get a month where I'm not, like, slam packed busy, but the days where I remember when I wasn't busy, I remember what that felt like. So I'm just like, man, you know, just keep the head up. Whatever happens, just keep pressing forward.
Right.
It's not going to last forever. It's eventually going to go away. But I try to keep a positive mindset, even when I'm hammering down on a car, standing a car for 2 weeks, and it's just not coming out the way I want. I just want to punch myself in the face. But, you know, I try to keep it cool. I try to keep it positive. I mean, you know, one of the things that I actually remember, and, you know, it's just when things go not the way you want it to go, you just kind of have to just tell yourself, you know, someone out there has it worse than you. And, you know,
exactly. That's
a saying that's been said, you know, for a very, very long time. But, you know, if you think about it, you got kids and you got people our age that are in different countries of the world that can't even afford to pay rent or even a bag of rice. So I try to keep it humble, and I try to just, you know,
it's a perfect
absorb what I have and just, you know, not get all cocky and stuff like that, because nobody likes to be around someone that's cocky. Because I mean, at the end of the day, we're all humans. We all die, and we're all blood and skin and bones.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No. That's a perfect thing to say. I mean, and Knox, he is one of those guys that, you know, like you even said earlier, you know, for who he is, he's so down to earth. You know, and he's told me many a times in certain groups, you know, that if I start getting out of line, he will put me back in line very quickly. So
he's put me in line a few times, actually. I mean, there's been times where he's called me and was like, "Yo, dude, chill the fuck out."
He was right, like, right.
You know,
I mean, I still kind of, you know, feel like, man, like, you know, why do people call me? Why do people ask me questions? Like, I still kind of have that mind frame that I'm, you know, like not good enough. But thanks to Knox and thanks to Bruno and Gray, Scott, because those three guys are kind of my buddy system. You know, and they're the ones that, you know, have gotten me lately to kind of realize, like, you know, you are good, man. You know, you are as good as some of these guys out there, or even better than some of these guys out there. So, you know, that's always a good thing to have, you know, it definitely, right. You know, like you said, stay humble. And it's good to have the people around you that are going to boost you up and keep you moving forward at the same time.
And not all right. That, so, yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but not only that, you know, just because one person has been in the game for X amount of years and then you think they have all that knowledge, you never know. That person can come up to you one day and learn something new from you because you do it a different way, or you have a different technique, or you have a different process.
Exactly.
You know, that's the thing I think a lot of detailers need to realize, is like, instead of bashing each other and trying to be, you know, the egotistical, you know, celebrity, like, hey, I'm the best of the best, you know, you got to realize, like, you may think you're the best of the best, but there's another dude in another town or three or four blocks from you that nobody's heard of that can do it 10 times better than you. So, you know, you got to stay humble. But, you know, I think detailers need to learn off of each other more, you know, communicate more and kind of pick each other's brains. Like, you know, the whole podcast thing, you know, I think that's
right.
I like it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So where can everybody find you? Let's say people outside of Pain Assassins that don't know who you are. So Michael McCarthy on Facebook.
Yes, Michael McCarthy 15. On Facebook. I usually post more on my personal page than I do my business page. GlossBoss850 on Facebook, and then GlossBoss850 on Instagram. It's pretty much the only two social media areas I really post in.
No Twitter, Snapchat, OnlyFans.
Man, I can't do Twitter. That's too much stress. I'm okay with that. Maybe down the road, if I get like another hand to help me at the shop and I have some time to bust out my Twitter fingers, but as of right now, no, I don't think so.
I got you.
Maybe YouTube, but I've started a YouTube page. I haven't really updated it, but
that's cool.
I plan on getting more into content for the media page on YouTube, and, you know, kind of going that direction a little bit more. I'm just kind of waiting to get at a slower pace right now where I can take a break to actually do that, because right now things are hiatus.
Right. I got you. Well, listen, man, I appreciate it. Again, like I said, I definitely learned a lot about you. You know, and I definitely want to kind of keep the open lines of communication going, kind of moving forward on things like that, man. And, you know, thanks for being second guest on this, you know, hopefully fun little podcast type deal. So that's all I got to say, man.
I got your number now, so I'll just text message you, Jars and Mario, at middle of the night.
Yeah. Go right ahead. I'll see him in the morning, because I always turn my phone off, so or put it on silent. So, but yeah, man. Thanks a lot. You know, I appreciate you kind of fitting me in your crazy busy schedule, and then, of course, I didn't even realize, you know, I was just thinking, oh, we're in Florida, we're at the same time. I didn't realize that you are further west than I am and on a completely different time zone. So,
yeah, I'm kind of in, you know, the area you call Southern Alabama.
Right.
We're in the weird part of Florida, I guess you would
say. Yeah. No, I gotcha. So cool, man. You know, we'll talk soon. I hope everybody enjoys this podcast. Michael McCarthy, GlossBoss 850. And yeah, man, you have a good night.
You too, man. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast. Hey, I think you should keep doing this. Maybe do like a follow-up like every year, kind of see what everybody's going through, how they're doing.
Well, definitely. I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, it's not just going to be like a one and done with everybody. I do plan on, you know, doing some follow-ups and part twos and things like that. You know, obviously after I get through the people that I want to talk to first, you know, then I can always round back to people and kind of see what's going on or see how things have changed. Or again, even like I said, like I could do a round table, you know, some I might bring back on, you know, past guests and, you know, pick a topic and, you know, kind of just round table it.
Or you could just come visit us in our workplace and just come hang out, talk and do like a video chat.
Man, I gotta get a lot of money just to be able to quit doing what I'm doing and then just travel around to everybody. So, yeah, man, as soon as I hit the lottery, I'll definitely do that.
Well, COVID's around, so plane tickets are
Except I'm like you right now. I've been slam busy. But I do know that we have talked about going up and visiting Matt and my Uncle Danny and Cousin Christy, maybe within the next year or so. So, you know, definitely I will do a Noxie style pop in like I did with him. I just won't tell you. I just won't tell you I'm coming. I'll just pop in, go Facebook Live and pop in on you. So
I'm cool with that.
All right, man. I'm gonna let you go. It's getting late for me. I'm old timer. I gotta go to bed. So
all right,
I'll talk to you later, man. Thanks again. I appreciate it so much.
Yep. No problem. Anytime. Have a good night.
Thanks, man. You too. All right. Bye. Okay, everybody. Episode 2 done. Michael McCarthy, man, that was a really cool one. Like I said, I've been following that guy for a couple of years now, and he just absolutely kills it. Blows my mind. So again, apologies to Aaron Knox for bumping him this episode, but I mean, obviously, come on, Michael McCarthy, everybody. So Noxie, we will get him on for next episode. So stay tuned for my best friend. You guys have probably all seen the t-shirt where we are riding bare-chested on a Pegasus through the candy, cotton candy clouds that really happened. That was not a fake or doctored photograph. So again, next episode. Aaron Knox. Thank you guys for listening.